Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you. Wrapping up the second hour of the show. And a pleasant surprise this morning. We thought we weren't going to be able to get Max Herz on as he is on this long Western road trip with the Predators. But he is with us now. Max, thanks for taking some time. And I know you guys got in late, so appreciate you giving us a segment here.
Jake, hello.
Hello, Max. How's it going?
I literally heard the last two words of that, but now I hear everything.
I was about to say, thank you. I know you guys got in late, but thank you for coming on and at least giving us a segment. I know you guys have been all over the place over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. The funny thing about this trip is, well, all of it, but it is a 6-game trip, which is the Preds' longest trip of the season. It's 7 straight road games, including one before Christmas, but the team returned home for the Christmas break.
Right.
So I don't count that as part of this trip. But anyway, one of the things we do when we visit the incredible country of Canada, where we are right now in Calgary, is we fill out a little passport declaration form, and they're very happy to have us. They acknowledge that it's a plane full of hockey players and basically say, come on in, we're not going to slow you down, which is awesome, and I love Canada for that. But one of the things that we put on that little sheet is the duration of our stay. And me, Chris Mason, and Hal Gill, we're all looking at each other on the plane. Like, how many days is this? We are here for 6 days for the final 2 games of this road trip in Calgary and Edmonton, because we don't leave until Wednesday. We spend the night after the game at Edmonton Tuesday. So the Preds have played 2/3 of the games on this road trip, but they have had fewer than half of the days on this road trip expire, because it was a road trip that started with the challenging day of travel for the first game back from Christmas going to St. Louis. So, what a league, huh?
It's crazy how long this team has been gone. And, you know, you go west, you face Vegas and Seattle back-to-back days. Now you're up there in Alberta. What's the trip look like so far? Some big wins. Obviously, yesterday fell behind early, tough back-to-back around New Year's. But what have you seen from this team that's allowed them to still get 3 wins through the first 5 games of this trip?
Yeah, so I like that you're counting the pre-Christmas game, because it is a win and that makes things sound better. So
right. If it fits my narrative, I'm going to do it.
It's my motto, like pal.
Hi, Connor.
Hello.
So 3-2, including that Minnesota win, which was really good. Like, the Wild are good. With Quinn Hughes, they are good. They're loading up for the next couple of years while he's there. And at least on the back end, that is borderline super team. At forward, it's Kirill Kaprizov and Boldy, and see who else steps up and who they can get at the trade deadline to maybe play top line center for them. But that was a really good win pre-Christmas. And I think that set the tone for coming out of the break as well. They came back. They went to St. Louis. That game wasn't as good. That may be a game the Preds win under different circumstances and one that they'd like back. But then the win in Utah was gutsy. And that is a game that the Preds would not have been able to claw back into at any point really last season and at points early in this season. And it's because they had Steven Stamkos being a goal scorer. They had their 5 best players on the ice for the power play. Steven Stamkos got inside, which is where he's been scoring a lot of these goals recently. And they found a way to tie the game and take the lead late. And then the best part of the team, the penalty kill, takes over with 3.5 minutes of PK time down the stretch, including 25 seconds of 3-on-5. That was a big win in Utah, which is a challenging place to play, because of the arena layout and the way the crowd is, and players have a hard time going on the road and playing there. And Andrew Brunette acknowledged that coming in, and that was a great win for the Preds. And then they went to Las Vegas, which is supposed to be a really tough place to play. And it was like dead quiet almost the entire game, because the Preds went down 2-0, got 3 straight and shut it down. And very little happened from that point on. Steven Stamkos scored his 600th NHL goal. And then from there, it was not the most entertaining game we've ever seen. And that's a good road win for the Preds. Last night, they definitely could have been better. Seattle was rested. Preds were on a back-to-back. It showed early. They went down. Philip Grubauer had some good saves, but the Preds did not do enough to come back and tie it. So 3-2 in the last 5, 2-2 on this leg of the trip. And I think they've been okay in it. And I think they have what it takes to at least split the trip. They've beaten Calgary twice already this year. That's who they're playing tomorrow. And then Edmonton on Tuesday, obviously, has who they have and are what they are, and that'll be the last game of the trip. If the Preds can compete in that game and win that game, then that would really mean something. But the Calgary one is a potential win to make this at least a 500 trip.
Max, let me ask you about the other news that came out today, and that's Olympic rosters for next month's Winter Olympics are getting revealed. And as of right now, there are four Preds on Olympic rosters. Forsberg's on Sweden, Erik Haala and UC Saros are playing for Finland. What does that mean for the organization to be represented like that?
Yeah, and the fourth one, Connor, is Roman Josi, who we've known as on
of course.
Switzerland since the summer, and he will, without a doubt, be the captain of the Swiss, which is going to be awesome. And it's funny for you. I don't think people realize, even in Nashville, how much publicity and like video press and attention during these broadcasts that Roman Josi is going to get. Because we're so used to watching Roman Josi, and obviously he's one of the best players in Preds history. He's the all-time leading point scorer for the team. He's 10 games away from being the first Pred ever to play 1,000 games, all for the Preds. But what he is in Switzerland is another level. And they have 10 NHL players. If those guys play well and Switzerland does well and pushes toward a medal round, Roman Josi could be the absolute star of the men's hockey tournament around the world. And obviously they're not going far if he doesn't play well. So that's part of it, but I would expect him to play great. He's playing with players who grew up idolizing him. He's playing with players like Nino Niederreiter, who he's known for half of his life. I think they're going to be really fun to watch. And I think he's a player who the world and the broadcasters and all of that are going to spotlight at the top level. And the other three are Philip Forsberg, who was named to Team Sweden today. It was a little bit of a surprise that Forsberg was not one of the first six players named over the summer. So every team named six players over the summer, and then the rest of the rosters came out today. I hope that got Phil going a little bit. That's something that I hope doesn't make him happy. And he's played well this year. I think it may be a little bit of a response to that, which is good. And obviously he was going to make the team. So he's made the team, and he hopes to score better than he did in the Four Nations, which was a small sample, but he didn't score a goal in three games there for Sweden. So that's a potentially really good team. And then we've got two on Finland, UC Saros, who we already knew would be there. And it's going to be the same three goalies for Finland that were there for the Four Nations last year. Saros, our old buddy, Kevin Lankinen, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen from the Sabres. So you assume Juice will be the number one, without a doubt, at least to start. And then Erik Haala is going to be there, which is well-deserved for a guy who's played for Team Finland in a lot of different tournaments. He's 34. He's been in the NHL for 13 years, but he hasn't been in the Olympics because the NHL players haven't been in the Olympics for 12 years. So great for Erik Haala. Really, really happy for him. He's been so good for the Preds this year, filling the role. And I also want to tell a quick story, guys, if I have time, and I can stay for more segments if you have room for me.
Go ahead.
But I sent you that Michael Bunting interview in case our travel prevented me from coming on at all. And I love Bunting, first of all. He's so funny. He's such a good presence in the room, and he's been a great player for the Preds this year. But after practice earlier this week in the Preds visiting locker room in Las Vegas, a few of the players who had come off the ice early were in there: Bunting, Haala, McCarron, and then the defenseman locker rooms were on the lockers were on the other side of the room, and it's kind of a big room, and Roman Josi was over there. And I think Erik Haala had just gotten the call that morning that he had officially made Finland, which everybody knew was coming, but the official call is the official call. And this was 3 days ago. And Bunting and McCarron are congratulating him on it. And Bunting sits back in his locker and looks all the way across at Josi, who's not really able to hear the conversation from the far side. And he goes, "Hey, Josi, you think you have a shot at Switzerland?" With a total straight face. I don't know how he did it. And Josi didn't really hear it and just gave him a "what?" And Bunting goes, "Do you think you're going to be on Team Switzerland?" And Josi just kind of shrugged. But that's Michael Bunting. And I thought it was so funny. And I don't know how he kept a straight face. He's a comedian.
That's great. And it was cool hearing that interview with him yesterday. Talked a lot about his relationship with Steven Stamkos now, and maybe a little bit of a rivalry back when he was with Toronto. Max, you said you can stick around. You got one more segment?
Yeah, as much as you guys want. I'm up. I'm here. Never quite know how travel is going to go when you're going across the border into somewhere with snow on the ground. But yeah, we rolled in pretty much on time around, I don't know, 1 a.m. Mountain Time last night.
So gotcha.
I'm here to babble as long as you guys will allow me to.
All right. Well, we'll bring you back for one more segment. We'll talk a little bit about Steven Stamkos, his impact throughout December, 12 total goals in the month, including number 600 overall back on New Year's Eve. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Final hour on this Friday coming up. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final hour on this Friday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are joined for one more segment from beautiful Calgary. Max Hurst from Preds Radio with us, talking about the Preds' long seven-game road trip. Six games in a row, but seven consecutive road games, and the Preds so far have won 3 out of 5. They will take on the Calgary Flames tomorrow. And Max, we talked a little bit about Steven Stamkos in the last segment. 600 goals in his career, and you know, as somebody who does play-by-play as well, I know it's special to be able to call moments like that. I'm sure that was cool for you as someone who grew up watching Steven Stamkos to be able to say that you called his 600th goal.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And only 22 players have 600 goals, which is absolutely nuts. It's just so crazy to think about. And the way Stamkos has scored over the past month, I think made it much more special. Because now it really feels like the real Steven Stamkos is on the Preds, and the Preds are getting what they wanted from a goal scoring standpoint when they signed Steven Stamkos 2 summers ago. So I think all of that lining up with the milestone made this an all time Preds moment that our fans and our team are proud of the fact that it happened in Preds gold. And it's already cool to have Steven Stamkos, future first ballot Hall of Famer, scoring goals for the Preds. But the fact that all of this lined up the way it did, and the Preds are playing well right now, and they are close to maybe trying to make a push for the playoffs here in the second half, and Stamkos is a big reason why, that's what made it such a great Preds moment to me, in addition to it being an obvious moment of NHL history.
What difference have you seen from Stamkos over the last month? I mean, 12 goals in December, and I heard Adam Vingan say earlier this week, 6-game winners, which is tied for the most by any player in a month in NHL history. What have you seen from Stamkos that has finally got him into this groove that I think Preds fans were hoping for when they signed him initially?
Yeah, that stat was crazy. There are only 6 players in the entire history of the NHL dating back to the original 6 who had 6 game-winning goals in the same month. Like, it goes back to Jean Béliveau in 1960. He was the first.
Wow.
Jean Béliveau, Bernie Geoffrion, Mike Bossy, Brian Propp, Johan Franzen in 2008 from the Red Wings was the most recent. And now Stamkos. Like, it's just so, the numbers are crazy. Like, game-winning goals are the most important goal-scoring stat. And he did it in a lot of different ways, but he's winning the Preds games. And I think to answer your original question, the difference is just how engaged he's been, and not that he was disengaged, but where he's been going on the ice, playing with Ryan O'Reilly. The last 3 seasons, the Preds have had stretches of different times where the top line has worked. 2 years ago, it was Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, and Gus Nyquist for most of the season. Now this year, it's Forsberg and O'Reilly with Stamkos. And Stamkos, I think, has done a lot of the things that Nyquist did well. But obviously, Steven Stamkos is a more gifted goal scorer than Gus Nyquist. So they're creating even more than they did during that season when Philip Forsberg had the Preds record 48 goals 2 years ago and almost 100 points. So that's what we're seeing from them. Forsberg has adapted his game. And to bring Adam's points back in, Adam has done a good job on Twitter, and I haven't been able to listen since we've been traveling, but presumably on the talk show as well, showing the analytical numbers of where Stamkos has been scoring from and how he has been scoring and how he's been scoring at the net front, on redirects, getting to the high danger areas. And then for him, when he's doing that, the entire left side of the ice, even far away from the goal, is also a high danger area because he's Steven Stamkos and the one-timers happen. And the 600th goal was one of my favorite goals he scored as a Pred, independent of the milestone, because it was a variation on the power play one-timer that we haven't seen on the Preds, but was very Predsy because it was a tough angle one-timer and it was an awesome cross-ice pass through the crease by Philip Forsberg right in his wheelhouse to set it up. So those type of plays are happening. The power play has been great recently. Luke Evangelista has gotten on the top unit, which I thought was well-deserved for a long time, and that has paid off and helped Stamkos quite a bit. So a lot of things are going in the right direction for Stamkos, and the way that he handled the tough times here has translated into some really, really good times recently, and he deserves it.
Max, let me ask you about the young guys on the other side. I guess on the other end of this conversation, they're all playing well, in my opinion, as well. Luke Evangelista has come on. Reed Schaefer, I think, is playing serviceable since being called up. How much of a difference do you think those guys provide in the play of the team?
I think you can make the argument that Evangelista is the third most valuable player from the hot stretch of December. Like, if you were to do three stars of the month for the Preds in a great month, they had 10 wins and four losses last month. Yeah, Stamkos is number one. I mean, O'Reilly, Evangelista, and Saros are 2, 3, and 4 in some order. And the thing that Evangelista is doing that really made a difference for a while, out of the four forwards who were producing, which was Forsberg, O'Reilly, Stamkos, and Evangelista, whichever of those guys wasn't on the top line and wasn't playing with any of those other players 5-on-5 wasn't giving us much. Even when it was Forsberg, he had 5-6 game goal droughts on the second line away from those guys. And now it has been Evangelista who's not with those guys. And even on the wing, he is driving his line at even strength, mostly with Bunting and Halla. And that's good because those guys have production too. So I think Evangelista has really turned a corner, and the contract situation was what it was. I don't think that affected him. I think he is just a slow starter, and hopefully that's something he grows out of. This is his third season of hopefully many for the Preds as a homegrown pick that seems to really be getting to where he should be. And he's still only 23 years old. So it's a long season. It's a long career. Evangelista's playing the best hockey he ever has. He's been a playmaker, which I think is a really good role for him in the league. He's tied for the team lead in assists with Ryan O'Reilly. And I think the goals will come too, like they did earlier this week, and they'll start coming in the second half as well. He's made a big difference. And Schaefer, since you asked about him as well, really has fit well on the fourth line with McCarron and Smith. And they need somebody with those guys who can go out there and be on the same mission. And at times it was Tyson Jost or Ozzie Weisblatt. I think Schaefer is a better fit just because of his size, if nothing else. So 17 games for Schaefer. He's played 17 in a row since he was called up on Thanksgiving. This is a cool trip for him. Last night he got to play in Seattle, where he played his junior hockey on a really good junior team, the Seattle Thunderbirds. So he got to be back there. His little brother, who also plays in the Western League, got to see him play in person in the NHL for the first time. And then Tuesday night, Schaefer will get to play in his hometown of Edmonton for the first time, and his older brother will get to see him for the first time. And I think his parents have maybe been at half the game since he got called up, so they've seen plenty. But yeah, I think he's been good. And Matt Wood is the other one. He actually hasn't scored a goal in 12 games, but I think he is still positively contributing, even though he's not getting on the score sheet. They're not losing him. They're definitely not considering sending him down or anything like that. He's a part of the team, and he fits in well, and I think the goals will come for him. But it's the rookie wall is real, and he hasn't had many oh-my-God moments. I can think of maybe one or two where he gave pucks away badly, but other than that, no mistakes that are hurting the Preds and no really bad shifts from a rookie.
Last one for you, Max. This team, 12-6 over their last 18 games. And early on in this stretch, I think the conversation was, is this a flash in the pan or is this something sustainable? I think the Preds have shown over the last few weeks that they seem to have turned a corner. What's the feeling in that locker room like right now with the way they're playing? And like you said, they're right back into a race for a playoff spot as we near the midway point of the season.
A mood in the locker room is 10 out of 10. And even when they were losing, it was still like 6-7 out of 10. Not to make a 6-7 joke. That was my actual
rating. That's number two on the show today.
Some 12-year-old is cracking up right now.
I know that legitimately wasn't on purpose. Like, I'm not Connor. I'm not 21. I'm 31. So I don't really even know what it means, but
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. But that was my, we'll say 6.5 then to avoid the,
there you
fodder.
Go.
Yeah. But like we talked about it on the show, Jake, a month or two ago, whenever this was, when Frank Saravalli, who's like, I don't know, who's like the NFL equivalent of Frank Saravalli, like the guy who's the insider, but really
right.
likes to put his thoughts in it.
Jason Lockenfora or something like that.
Yeah. One of those guys. I don't know. But like, that's what Frank Saravalli is. And he came out on whatever he does and says, the Predators have the most toxic team culture top to bottom I've ever seen in the NHL. First of all, this guy, he maybe went to our game in Toronto, which was the fourth game of the season. Other than that, he has not been to a Preds game. He has not been in the locker room. He has not spoken to a player in person, as far as I know. But even when the Preds were losing, that wasn't true. And I hope I verbalized this properly on the show at the time, Jake, which was, the guys are coming early. The guys are staying late. They're happy to be there. It's a pretty veteran group of players in their early and mid 30s that really, really like each other, respect what the other guys have done. Guys who, for the most part, have won big games and understand what it takes to win and want to do that again rather than being, I've won before. Like, it's the Barry Trotz, like, come to Nashville to win instead of retire thing. Like, I don't think these guys are here to retire. I think they want to stay. And to again reference that Bunting interview, if people heard it from you guys a half hour ago, like I wanted to ask him about the team and his situation. He's in a contract year. He's on a 3-year contract that he signed with the Hurricanes, but on that contract, he's now played for the Hurricanes, the Penguins, and the Preds. Like, it hasn't been an easy road, and he is someone who you can get assets for at the deadline if you do sell. But also, he's someone I think you may approach about extending, or if you do trade him, talk to him about bringing him back in the summer for his age 31, 32, 33 seasons and make him a part of the culture here. So it's I think that kind of is the best way to explain where I think they're at. The mood is really good. Obviously, winning is fun. Milestones are so fun. And Andrew Brunette said the best part about Steven Stamkos' 600th goal was that they won, which like kind of sounds like right. a cop out answer. But after the game, the Preds post the video where they hand out what I call the team party favors in the locker room, the oar and the little fuzzy helmet for the player of the game, which I think is so great that they just give out these little gifts for who plays well. And it really does mean something. But Stamkos is up first and he goes, like, thanks for making this a win, because this is way less fun to get a milestone goal if the team doesn't win.
Right. I'm sure it's a bittersweet moment when you have that happening, but you lose the game. There's no bitterness when you win and get the 600th goal. Preds finishing up the road trip over the next couple of days. Calgary and Edmonton, the final couple of games. Max, appreciate your insights as always. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy your final few days in the Great White North, and looking forward to talking to you when you're back in Smashville.
Enjoy the more days that I'll spend in Canada than we've been on the road so far. Yeah, this trip is really backwards. But yeah, thank you guys. Both these guys are working hard. I want our listeners to know Jake announced the Vandy basketball game in Arkansas yesterday during the day and is right back on it today. And Connor actually gets even more credit because he was producing the Preds game last night, which was on the air until after. I don't know if he slept at the radio station or what, but Chase McCabe is trying to train him to become future Chase. And young Chase would have slept at the radio station. So I hope Connor did too. But thank you to you guys. Thanks, Parker. And I will see you back in person a week from right now.
Yes. Thanks for zooming in, Max, from Calgary. And we will talk to Max again next Friday. Live in person is the Preds' return home.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Max. That was Max Hurst from Preds Radio. When we come back, we will talk Titans. This may be a record for the longest we've gone without talking Titans. Although we did talk a little Titans draft with Reuben Bain during the first hour.
Dude, on my shows, we barely talk about it. I delay it. I'm like, I don't want to do it.
There's going to be lots of Titans talk next week as the season actually ends and the Titans start their head coaching search. But they do have one final game to play. We'll talk about it coming up next. And ask the question, Titans are probably going to go 3-14 this year. They went 3-14 last year. Do you feel any differently after this year than you did last year? I think you probably should. We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.